Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and today's episode is coming to you from Skinny Atlas, New York. I'm pretty sure I said the name of this town correctly. I may have gotten it wrong, though. I've been butchering the name of this town that we're in for weeks now, ever since we booked the trip out here. But Joanne and I are on vacation. We're traveling through upstate New York, getting away from the Albany city life and having a little relaxation time. And it's been a pretty good trip so far. We're in a nice little cottage type hotel set up here. They gave us a little rubber ducky that I can now keep. So I'm pretty excited about that. I'm going to take that home with me and I will cherish it forever and use it in future Epsom salt baths when I'm recovering from hard training. And I really think that is something that has been missing from my training. I've been lacking a rubber ducky in the Epsom salt baths. And you know what? That would make the Epsom salt baths that much more enjoyable. What have I been doing with my life not having one of these before? So I'm really happy that the hotel setup here has offered a rubber ducky. And you know what? Maybe this might lead to more bathroom toys. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Now, on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about one of my all-time favorite subjects, which would be programming. I know a lot of coaches out there don't really enjoy programming. It's boring, time-consuming, and tedious for them. But I love programming, and I've been thinking about it quite a bit during this trip because just a day ago, I put the final touches on the next Albany CrossFit Barbell Club training cycle. And on the way out here, I've been thinking more just theoretically about programming and what programming kind of is for me. And that thought process got me thinking about my mother, Martha McDermott. See, my mother loves gardening. And for her, gardening is a fun, rewarding, and relaxing activity. And I got to thinking, that's exactly what programming is for me. Programming is fun. I like to think about what we need to do to make that person better. How can we make the team better? And I like to plant the seeds, if you will, of different exercises, sets, and rep schemes throughout a training cycle that will get us to that overall growth. So that's fun for me. I enjoy to do that. I really don't see where the downside to that is, other than maybe sometimes it is indeed time consuming, but that just adds more to the fun. It's fun to write out a process and then come back to it a couple days later and say, oh man, that's not going to work, or to come up with a new idea to make that initial planting of the seed that much better. Programming's rewarding. It's fun to watch someone grow and develop as an athlete. Maybe when they started a training cycle, they were lacking in strength or lacking in some sort of technical ability on whatever it is the activity that they're trying to get better at is. But then over the course of weeks and months and years, you get to see them grow into a more developed athlete and also into a better person, because that is part of coaching and part of programming. You're trying to make your athletes better on all fronts, not just better at snatches and clean and jerks, but you're trying to make them better people as well. And hard training can bring a lot out in a person, and good coaching can bring a lot out in a person, especially if you're consistently reinforcing the fact that you believe in your athletes. Well, hey, maybe that's something they don't get all the time, and it boosts their self-esteem. Now they're going into a job interview. They're crushing that job interview. You never know what's going on in someone else's life. But to me, that's all part of the rewarding process of coaching, to see someone come into the gym and maybe they're a little timid. Maybe they're afraid of the place they're in. And then through hard training, as a result of the programming that you're doing, they just blossom into a whole different person. And, you know, sometimes there are going to be setbacks when you're programming. You know, you got to pull the weeds out, so to say, and fend off all the critters that might be trying to attack your plant that you've put into the ground. Maybe you chose the incorrect exercise that is going to get you to where you want to go. Or maybe you have to adjust the volume. Maybe you have to adjust the intensity in your program. Maybe you just have to get your athlete into a better environment. That's all part of it. And sometimes you have to take a few steps back to take more steps forward. And that's part of the fun of overall programming. And it's relaxing. I know I've spoken to many a gardener, not just my mother, who says that gardening is a very relaxing activity, just getting your hands in the soil and working with all the plants and the flowers. And for me, when I put on a pair of headphones and I grab a piece of paper and a pen and I start jotting down ideas, or I'm jotting down notes on my phone, it's a very relaxing activity for me. And I just couldn't think about doing, you know, not doing it. I just love programming. So there's my love note to programming. It's like gardening, if you will. And I'm a gardener of athletes. I'm trying to grow champions and amazing people in the gym. And that is my garden. And we're going to go deeper into my garden here because I want to talk a little bit more about this next training cycle that the Barbell Club is going to be going through. Now, typically when I relay information to my team, I would write an article or film a video or film audio like this and post it in our private Facebook group. That way everyone can listen, read, or watch and understand the why behind all the exercises that we're going to be going through in our next training cycle. And they can ask questions as well. And I thought it'd be fun to do this in podcast form. That way you guys, all the listeners who aren't on the team, can kind of get a feel for what we're doing. And hey, maybe if by the end you want to join our team, there are spots open for remote athletes, and there may or may not be spots open for in-person athletes. That would be something you would definitely need to contact me about, just because of the restrictions that New York State has placed on the amount of people that we can have in the room at a time. It's pretty tight if everyone were to show up. So I just need to make sure that I have room for new faces in the crowd. So understanding the why is very important. In the last podcast episode that I did on Monday with Frank, shout out to Frank, we talked about getting buy-in from your athletes and also developing knowledgeable athletes. So that's also a big reason why I do this. It's important that everyone knows why we're doing these heavy back squats or these snatch grip deadlifts where your hands are on fire and they just hurt. And if you understand why we're doing this and how this is going to make you better, then you're going to be a little bit more bought into the program and you'll endure it that much more. But if I never tell anybody why we're doing anything, then maybe, who knows, maybe that breeds resentment. Oh, he's just trying to beat us up. This is just hard for the sake of hard. And that's just not the case. So in this next training cycle, we are going to be doing a lot of hang lifts. And doing lifts, snatches, and cleans from the hang is not something that's out of the ordinary for the Albany CrossFit Barbell Club team. Typically, we work from the positions of the hips and right at the knee joint. Those are our two main hang positions that we have all worked with over the course of months and actually years. And it'll be no different, except now we have two different hang positions we're going to work on for this next training cycle. On Mondays and Wednesdays, we are going to be introducing positions that are just above the knee and just below the knee. We're going to really try to refine that knee position there and work on moving the barbell, navigating that bar around the knees and getting the knees out of the way during the pull so we have a stronger, more efficient pull with these two new hang positions. So above the knee and below the knee are the, quote, new hang positions. Those will be done on Mondays and Wednesdays. On Monday, it'll be snatch workout. And then on Wednesday, it'll be a clean workout with no jerk. We're kind of separating the clean and the jerk again so we can spend more time focusing on technique and strength for those two individual lifts. And then we'll put them together again at the end of the training cycle. So Monday and Wednesday are hang lifts, snatch on Monday, clean on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we will be doing full lifts on the snatch and the clean. And it'll alternate week to week. The first week, we're going to do full snatches from the floor. Then the next week, we'll do full cleans from the floor. And the progression will be that we're doing doubles, triples, and singles throughout the training cycle. And normally, when we're doing, let's say, triples, we would have to do a triple on the snatch, followed immediately by a triple on the clean. Well, that's not going to be the case this time. Instead, we're going to spread those triples out over the first 2 weeks, where the first set of triples is done on a snatch on week one, Then on week two, we do the second triple for the clean. And that'll be nice because we can be a little fresher for that clean workout. Sometimes we spend too much time on the snatch. Time really can get away from you when it's time to snatch. And then everyone's dead by the time it comes to the clean workout. Well, since we're separating the snatch and the clean throughout this training cycle on each day, we can really focus more time and attention to that movement. I'm talking extra warm-up time, extra bar work, extra mobility, and then extra time to really go heavy and work with the clean. Because the clean always just, it gets neglected. Everyone's favorite is the snatch. Or maybe if it's not everyone's favorite, it's just the one that always happens first. Because typically in a lot of our training cycles, we do a lot of competition style training cycles where we're going to snatch. Then immediately after snatching, we're going to do the clean and jerk, whether it be in complex form or just the full lifts or from the hang. So this will be a nice break from all of that. So on the main lifts, Monday snatch, Wednesday clean, and then on Friday alternating between the full snatch and clean. And with these Wednesday and Monday clean and snatches, we are going to be doing three position complexes. And just in a general sense, for anyone who is programming out there, a three position complex is something where you have three snatches from various heights in the lift, various positions of the pull. You might, for example, the classic way, have a snatch done from the hips, a snatch done from the knees, and then a snatch done from the floor, all done without letting go of the barbell. That is a three position snatch workout and a complex. There's two different ways that you can program a three position complex. One where you focus on technique, and another where you focus more on power development and being able to produce force with the hips and the legs. The first one, if we're focusing on technique, and this is exactly what we'll be doing for the first 3 weeks of the training cycle here, if you're going to program for technique, you would start from the top down. The first lift that you're going to do is from the hips, the second is from the knee, and the third is from the floor. That's the exact same progression that we use when we're warming up the snatch at the beginning of class. And it's also the way that most coaches are going to teach someone, starting from the top, working our way down to the floor. So that's a very technical based style of programming the three position snatch complex. And the order does matter. You want an order that makes sense if you're going to do some kind of a complex like this, or really any complex. You wouldn't want to go from doing a lift from this from the hips to doing a lift from the floor, then a lift from the knee. That just doesn't flow right. You know, that's, I prefer it to say, you know, if we're thinking about numbers, I prefer the numbers to go 1, 2, 3 or 3, 2, 1 instead of 1, 3, 2. That 1, 3, 2 just looks weird to me, and it just, it messes with my brain. So it's good to program in a way that you're taking your body through a sequence that makes sense when you're doing a snatch or a clean, whether it be in that order that I just said, hip, knee, floor, or the reverse order, floor, knee, hip, or any other type of position you're going to do. You could also do floor, below the knee, above the knee, or above the knee, below the knee, floor. Those all make sense in the way that they flow. So if you're programming for technique, though, you're going to work from the top down. That way you're starting with the simplest exercise and getting more complicated as you go down to the floor. But hopefully the movement patterns that you're practicing from the simplest exercise trickle down into those more complicated positions. Now, if we were going to program for power development or force production, which this is what we'll be doing on the second half of the training cycle, the final 3 weeks, because this is a 6-week training cycle, we will be working in the opposite order. We'll be doing a lift from the floor, then a lift from the knee, and then a lift from the hip, for example. That's not our exact progression because we are doing above the knee and below the knee. But if we were to take a look at those original positions, the most simple exercise is now going to be the hardest exercise, because after you've done a snatch from the floor and a snatch from the knee, that snatch from the hip, you're going to really have to work. Your grip is fatiguing. Maybe your hands are on fire because it's a super heavy weight. Your hook grip is failing you. Your hands are all sweaty. Your arms are tired. You're out of breath, maybe, if you're a little deconditioned. Your legs are starting to turn to jelly after those first full big efforts on the snatch, let's say for the floor and for the knee. And we've all been there before. We know that when you have to do that very last snatch from the hips, you have to say a quick Hail Mary or a quick prayer, whatever you need to do. And then you really need to use those legs and push as hard as possible with those hips and legs. And then use your upper body to rip yourself underneath that bar and catch it. You're required now to be a little more forceful and actually try to develop force with your hips and legs on the most simplest exercise when maybe you wouldn't. Maybe because when you start off with that position, it's the easiest position. You have the most leverage on the bar that would be ideal to connect with it. The whole goal of pulling from the floor is to get that bar up to that power position anyways, and you're already starting there. If we're working from the top down, it's easy. If we're working from the floor up, it's hard now because you're tired. So we'll be doing both of these different strategies throughout the training cycle. We'll start with the technical way so we can learn and practice the positions of the above knee and below the knee spot. And then in the second half of the training cycle, when we've spent some time with those positions, we will make ourselves work a little harder. And have no doubt, on all the workouts that we do, we're still going to be pushing the weight. We're still going to be trying to increase the weight from one set to the next, max out every complex that we do over the course of the 6 weeks, because we want to push the weight too. They'll just be different focuses, and they will feel vastly different when we get to different points in the training cycle. And that's why. The first time we do the three-position complex, when we're going in the top-down order, it'll feel hard. But the next time we do it, when we're working from the floor up, it's going to feel significantly harder. And it's not only because we're in week four, let's say, of the training cycle, and we're just overall beat down. It's because of the order of the lifts. So something very important to talk about when it comes to three position complexes, whether it be the snatch or the clean. And that's essentially what we're going to be doing for our weightlifting movements. Again, Monday snatch, three position lifts, above the knee, below the knee, and the floor in one of those orders. On Wednesday, we've got three position cleans, above the knee, below the knee, and floor. And then on Fridays, we just have full lifts. And hopefully the work that we're doing on Monday and Wednesday translates into that lift from the floor that we're going to be working on and also spending extra time to focus on what's going on around the knee. I've been seeing a lot of people in class looping the bar around their kneecaps, and then we're jumping forward, we're catching on our toes. That's something that we really got to iron out here, and that's another reason why we're using this above the knee and below the knee positions for our complexes. And that above the knee, below the knee work isn't just with the snatch and clean. It's also going to be a part of our deadlift workouts, which I'll talk about here in a second. So those are the weightlifting workouts. They'll progress all throughout the weeks, 6 weeks, with different rep schemes and sets and all that stuff. And we're going to go heavy. Now for our strength workouts, on Mondays, we're doing back squat. On Wednesdays, we're doing rack jerks. And on Fridays, we're going to alternate between the snatch and the clean grip deadlift. Let's talk about Monday first, our back squats. For these back squats, on odd weeks, we will be doing paused back squats. And then on even weeks, no pauses. We get to lift free on those even weeks. The pauses will be at the bottom of the squat and at the top of the squat. Just standing there, bracing your whole body, torso, legs, upper back, squeezing the bar, and then we go down for another squat. And there's a reason we're doing this. If you remember, if you listened a bunch of episodes ago on the Bug Stomper episode, I talked about the Zercher squat and how we were going to use the Zercher squat in our programming. And then I changed my mind. A couple weeks later, things changed at the gym. All of a sudden, we went from having 10 squat racks available to now just having 4 in the back of the room. and then four little metal stands. And so that just kind of threw things off a little bit. And I'm also trying to consider everyone's time. We will come back to the Zercher squat. It is something that we are going to do. But I think the best course of action, since we haven't as a group done back squats or heavy strength lifts since March, no one's really had an opportunity to do them. We should ease back into this. I want to make sure everyone can walk on Wednesday after Monday's squat workout, and that the strength workouts that we do are hard, but they're not going to negatively impact our weightlifting workouts, which that's an important consideration for anyone who's doing programming. Where is your focus going to be? Our focus right now is still on the snatch and the clean and jerk, but we want to make sure we can reintroduce these strength exercises back in. So we're just going to focus on the back squat. But the nice thing is that pause at the bottom of the squat is going to help us to get more comfortable in that bottom position again, make that bottom position stronger, and also limit the overall weight that we're going to lift on those paused workouts versus if we didn't have any pauses. That pause standing tall at the top of the lift is going to help us developing and keeping the muscles of the upper body and really the overall body with more time under tension. That was going to be a big benefit of that Zercher squat, that upper back pump on just holding the barbell in the crook of your elbows and having those muscles in your upper back work harder. Well, we can accomplish a similar goal with a pause standing tall in between squat reps. So let's take a look at the first day of the training cycle. You will build up to a heavy set of five reps. And on every set of those five reps, or every rep of that set of five, you're going to hold the bottom of the squat for 5 seconds and hold the top for 5 seconds. That's going to be quite a bit of pausing right there. So the bar is going to be on your back for quite some time. Actually, wait a minute. Nope. Oh, you got lucky. That's 3 seconds at the bottom, 3 seconds at the top. Right now, everyone just let out a sigh of relief. We'll be doing 5 second pauses when we get to 3 reps on the back squat. There we go. Because I'm trying to get us to 30 seconds total of time under tension. So that's what we'll be doing. You squat down, 3 seconds at the bottom, stand tall, hold that standing position for 3 seconds. That's rep number one. Do it 4 more times. Those pauses will limit the overall weight that we're going to lift during that training session. We're probably not going to be upwards of setting a new 5 rep max squat PR. Although if you do, awesome, you're a beast. But if you don't, it's probably going to be somewhere between the range of 80% and 90% your 5 rep max back squat. And I give that big of a range just because some of us are stronger squatters than others, but you're going to more than likely fall within that continuum. And then the next week, week two, when we take the pauses away and we build up to a heavy set of five, now that that extra obstacle of the pause is gone, you might lift even more weight. So if you only lifted, let's say, 82% of your 5 rep max back squat with those pauses, now without the pause, who knows, you might get up to actually 90%, or you might just set a new record if you are that stronger squatter on the team. So that's what we're going to do. The first 2 weeks, we're doing sets of five. The second 2 weeks on the back squat, we're doing sets of three. And the final 2 weeks of the training cycle, we will be doing singles with pauses. And then finally, on that last week, we're going to build up to a new 1 rep max back squat, which is something we haven't done at all this year, mainly because of COVID, but also just at the beginning of the year, we were focusing on training for the Arnold and other things like that. So that'll be exciting. We're gonna get all new numbers on the back squat, and we're gonna get freaky strong with all these pauses. On Wednesdays, we will be doing rack jerks. So even though we're not doing the clean and the jerk together, we're still going to do the jerk on that Wednesday session. We'll do that 3-position clean workout. Then we're going to put the bars on the squat racks and do rack jerks. We'll be doing sets of 3, 2, and 1, doubles, triples, and singles. And it'll follow a very similar paused progression that the back squat is, where on week one, we are going to pause for 3 or 5 seconds in the dip position and then do the jerk. And that'll be pausing in the dip position on, let's say, all three jerks. Then on the second week of the program, we'll be doing another set of three jerks, but this time without the pauses in the dip. And the reason we're doing these pauses in the dip is because I've noticed a lot of people on the team are getting on their toes when they're doing that dip and drive. And it's leading to a lot of forward catches on the jerk. It's leading to a lot of back legs that are completely straight, and we're pushing all of our body weight forward. If we were to think about the weight distribution between the front leg and the back leg, instead of being 50-50 or 60-40, we're at more like 70-80 in the front and 20 and 30 in the back. So we need to balance that out. We need to work on finding our heels and keeping the feet flat as we go through that dip portion of the dip and drive on the jerk. And the fun part, and also the beneficial part is when you're pausing in that dip, I can watch you in that static position and give you coaching from there. Or if we're going to do a set together, then maybe I take you through it. You know, you bend the knees and I'll count out the pause while you're focusing on just staying on the heels and driving up through the middle back of your foot when you're doing that jerk. So we'll have the ability to work together a little bit more on that jerk, which is already such a fast and, for some of us on the team, uncomfortable movement to do. Now we can slow down one part of it and work on it together. And then the next week, we'll take out those pauses and see if that practice held true. So every other week, we'll have a paused dip workout. And then every other week, opposed to those, we'll just have regular jerks where we're finding new triples, doubles, and single PRs. And all these different PRs that we're finding on these strength lifts, they're going to help us in the future for the next training cycle, which I've already started to think about. And I've started to plant the seeds, if you will, on what's coming down the road in the future. So that's Monday and Wednesday for our strength program. We've got back squats and we've got jerks off of the squat rack. And if any of you out there on the team have blocks available, block jerks are also cool. We might have to do some of that because we don't have 10 plus squat racks in the room. Now, Friday is deadlift day. We will be alternating between the snatch grip deadlift and the clean grip deadlift again. And the part of the reason for this is, one, I want to work on both of them. I don't want to spend too long without working on the snatch grip deadlift and biasing the clean grip deadlift or vice versa. And also, I know that one of them everyone likes and the other one is not a favorite of the group. So here's a programming advice for any coaches out there. Sometimes you have to sprinkle in a little bit of what everyone loves and then also sprinkle in a little bit of what everyone hates. And not everyone on the team enjoys those snatch grip deadlifts. So instead of having us just go through 6 weeks and having everyone show up on Friday and you're not enjoying this particular workout, because let's be honest, snatch grip deadlifts, they hurt. They destroy the hands. They're heavy. They're awkward. They're something that we have to do, but we can every other week have a break from them. And that's not to say that clean grip deadlifts aren't hard. I think in many ways they might be even harder just because you're using such a heavier weight. And I know my thighs are on fire whenever I'm doing those clean grip deadlifts, but it'll just be a nice way to have a break from both of them week to week. And what we'll be doing here is we'll be starting the session with a snatch grip or clean grip deadlift workout, and then we'll do the snatch or the clean right after it. And the nice thing about that is we'll go heavy as we can for the day. It's not a fixed percentage or anything like that where you're going to have to do five sets of five at 85% your max snatch grip deadlift or something like that. You're just going to build up to a heavy weight for the day, practice the snatch grip deadlift, and then after that, we can get that little feeling of how the snatches all feel super light or how the cleans all feel super light because we just did that heavy work before it. And who knows, that might spark some new PRs because of that feeling. Sometimes it's all about perception. If the lift feels awful right off the floor, feels super heavy, then you might not go for it. But if it feels light, if it feels easy, you're like, hey, this isn't that bad at all. then you might go for it and get that extra PR. So that's kind of what I'm hoping will happen. We will do pauses on these snatch and clean grip deadlifts throughout the entire training cycle. And the pauses are going to be specifically above the knees and below the knees. So there are those positions again. We're going to be working on above the knee and below the knee pauses for these deadlifts so we can lift an even heavier weight than what we lifted on Monday and Wednesday and get that extra strength work around those positions. Because again, that is a huge focus on this training cycle. What is happening around the knee joint when we're doing our pulls from the floor? So we would pull the bar off the ground, pause for 3 or 5 seconds just above the knees, and then after that, finish the deadlift explosively. And you'll do a set of 5 or a set of 3 or a set of a single on that, and we'll keep that going all throughout the training cycle for both the snatch grip deadlift and clean grip deadlift. And if you remember my post in the private Facebook group, now would be a very good time to purchase a pair of straps. So check out the post that I made in the Facebook group. Straps will help a lot for these deadlifts that we're going to do. I'm not concerned with straps taking away grip strength or anything like that, because we're going to be doing tons of 3-position lifting, and lifting from the floor won't be a problem. But you're probably going to want a pair of straps to help save your hands for that snatch and clean workout right after the heavy deadlifts. I know I'll be using my straps for all the deadlifts that I do, because otherwise my hands will fall apart by the end. And guys, that is the program that we're going to be going through in a nutshell, just a general overview for the next 6 weeks. Just a little recap. On Monday, we will be doing 3-position snatch complexes, working on above the knee and below the knee positions. And we will also be doing back squats, whether they be paused or not paused, for 5 reps, 3 reps, and single reps. On Wednesday, we'll be doing a 3-position clean workout, followed by a paused or unpaused rack jerk workout, where we're pausing in the dip position and we're either doing sets of 3, 2, or 1. Then on Friday, we'll be doing heavy deadlifts, whether they be paused snatch grip deadlifts or pause clean grip deadlifts, and we'll be pairing those with their sister movement. So if we're doing a snatch deadlift, we're going to be doing a snatch right after it from the floor. If we're doing a clean grip deadlift, we'll be doing a heavy clean from the floor. And those snatches and cleans will be triples, doubles, or singles all throughout the training cycle. And that is the next Albany CrossFit Barbell Club training cycle. One other thing that I'm going to be adding into our overall programming is a deload week after every training cycle. And what I want this to turn into is, quote, club week. So after we're done with a 6-week training cycle, what I would like to do maybe a week or two before is kind of pull the group and ask all of you, what do you guys want to do during club week? Maybe there's a lift we haven't done in a while. Maybe it's strict presses. Maybe some of you guys want to do strict presses. Okay, let me know and I'll program some strict presses in there and we'll work on it. Maybe bench press is something we probably can't do for a little while just because of COVID, although we could try to figure it out somehow. Maybe by the time the first club week happens, some of this COVID stuff will be over, so to say, and we'll be able to bench press. But I know bench press is a popular thing that we don't get to do often. That would be an example of something that you guys can ask for club week. Or it could be a classic, maybe CrossFit style complex, like the bear complex. So I'll be putting that up a couple weeks before the training cycle ends to see what we're going to do for club week. And who knows, maybe club week just turns into maxing the snatch and clean jerk all 3 sessions. Although I don't think it will, because everyone has their favorite lifts that we do. So club week is coming up for the end of a training cycle, that week gap between them. Now, if you're listening and you're not on our Barbell Club team, 1, thank you for listening. 2, if you want to join our team, whether it be remotely or in person, slide into my DMs, send me an email, and we'll talk. We'll get you started. We'll see what you have to do. For those of you who are all listening, thank you so much again for always supporting the show. make sure you head on over to Instagram and follow the Barbell Strikes Back. Follow me, James A. McDermott, and I will be coming to you with another show on Friday, this time from the Jersey Shore. So we'll have our first show done out of state and also in the Jersey Shore. So that'll be exciting. Thank you and have a good day.